Hello and welcome to another edition of To the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Thanks very much for joining us for this League 2 edition. So this week what we're doing, three shorter episodes, one per division, Championship, League 1 and League 2. So as always, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. If you prefer listening to watching, you can get us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or all that good stuff there. And as I said in the last one, if you're a fan of mediocre chat, be sure to check out the Championship and League One editions this week as well. Joined in a front two this week with James, how are you?
I'm all right, aye. Weirdly, just sort of anecdotally for the viewers and listeners, we usually have a relatively straightforward recording schedule. We do Championship, then we'll record League One, and then we'll do League Two. So we're obviously on the League Two one just now, and viewers might realise, having watched the Championship one with a cracking patter, watched the League One one with a cracking patter, that Muzz actually isn't with us. I don't know if you saw him pull out an old Nokia 3310 that didn't look like his normal phone, and then pick up his trench coat and run off out the house. So that may be why he's not here, but you've opened up this Zoom for us to meet, and he's been noticeable in his absence, so...
He did have a binocular-shaped bulge in his trench coat pocket as well. So
is that binoculars he's hiding, or perhaps something else?
We say no more about that. So, as like I say, thank you very much for joining us for this League 2 edition. League 2 is back with a bang. Interesting result, set of results last week, James, to get us back. And most of the kind of favourites winning, would you say? Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, it was almost one of the leagues where... there weren't many surprises, really, were there? I don't know what you'd pick out as your game of the day.
I think, see, if you're putting a coupon on, you'd probably have done all right. You know, you'd have backed Stirling to beat Brechin, you'd have backed Stenny to beat Albion Rovers, you'd have backed Queen's Park to beat Stranraer. You might even have backed Annan and Cowden to Humfoot a 0-0.
Probably game of the going to be a 0-0.
Result of the day is probably... Edinburgh City under Gary Naismith for the first time, going up and getting a great win up at Elgin.
Yeah, it's one of those places, Elgin, that you can go and it can be really stingy. And Elgin are all right. You know, we got a bit of hassle early doors for maybe writing them off. And I think we were wrong to write them off at the time. But it's almost to steal a popular saying in Edinburgh, it's almost like natural order's beginning to get itself set back out, because Elgin always seem to have these undulating seasons where they're up for a wee bit and then they're down and then they're in the middle, up, down, middle. And you know, it's one of the games, Edinburgh City, that you wouldn't necessarily have on that calendar going, right, we're away to win this one, but you come down the road going, we've pulled this out of the bag, and to be fair, probably justifiably so.
And they followed it up, didn't they, with last night, with another win in the league. Obviously, there was Scottish Cup games on, but they were in the league. And beat Albion Rovers 2-1, another 2-1 result, again away from home. So Naismith's got to be delighted with that start, especially with Albion pegging them back last night.
Yeah, and you're looking at Albion, who really could be doing with points, basically, and... for them to be almost within touching distance of anything and then to not get it, you're doing well if you're Edinburgh City to see that off, come away with a win, and again thank yourself that you've not been sort of banana skinned. What do you make of the Albion Rovers Brechin obviously playing last night as well? We said they were said that I thought their performances would be better, but I don't think their results were last time. So I'm not surprised that they've two games, two losses for both of them, but no, performances may be better.
I'll come on to them, but I just want to say Edinburgh City, the one thing that Naismith looks to have done all right is we weren't sure at times Edinburgh City first half of the season what shape they're going to play, what shape they changed to during games, but it looks like Naismith, he's kind of settled on a 4-3-3/4-2-3-1. Made a couple of changes between last Saturday and last night, but same back four played, kind of similar in centre midfield. Laird dropped out last night, but he's got an abundance of wide players. Harris, Smith, Handlin, Crane can play up there, Jardine. So It looks like that 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3 shape is going to suit them, actually. So fair play to Naismith. He's obviously come in, identified that's the system they're going to play. We've got the players to play it. Josh Campbell had a good game by all accounts as well. So I like Edinburgh City, to be fair. I think they'll be all right. But on to
I've teed you up for that Albion and Brechin shout, but just thinking about what you're saying on Edinburgh City, we'd like to think, I think all three of us had Thompson in our team of the season. It's good that there's players there that have that consistency. Callum Crane's another player that I like that maybe hasn't been in as much as he could. What I would put to you is, you mentioned the wide players, you didn't mention DeVita, unless I've misheard you. He's one that you think would be playing week in, week out, if he's come down from a team down from a Premiership team. And he's never really been in favour when they've been in the Premiership, but he's of a standard that you would expect him to play every game.
Well, in all team sheets and everything, he was playing left back for Livy on Saturday. I don't know if you've seen that on Twitter, but Jackson Longridge just took it, scored number 23. So, like, the Press Association, the Hibs Twitter tweeted number 23, DeVita has been booked. Chris Evalumu on Sports Scene and called him LaVita. So he's kind of merged Longridge and DeVita.
Why not?
But no, to be fair, he's one that I think Naismith will probably just need to be careful with the games he plays him in. So he's played him Saturday, first game for a while, obviously. Up at Elgin, tidy pitch, as we spoke about in the episodes where we rated pitches, surfaces, etc. He's then pulled him out for Albion Rovers away, which DeVita's probably thanking him for it. And again, we spoke about surfaces and things. So that's maybe one where he had the opportunity. Maybe he could have picked up a knock. I think he did come on, but he didn't start. I think the big one that Naismith's done is he's gone with Ozzie C as his striker and not Blair Henderson.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he's maybe seen what he's saw in training. But that was words. But C's bagged a double on Saturday, isn't it? So, against Albion Rovers. So, that's an interesting big call by Naismith, but looks to be the right one. So,
I think there's a wee bit of vying for position at the start, for the position of the position at the start of the season. But it's almost, again, another natural order where things are beginning to settle themselves out. And actually, because really we're only at the halfway point, if that.
Yeah,
by all intents and purposes.
I saw an interview with him, Naismith, and he said we've got 19 outfield players. It was the same as Rutkovic at Stornoway. They had 19 outfield players. They've since strengthened. And he was just hoping that would be enough to kind of get him through.
But we wouldn't expect to see every team have a settled, this is going to be our team, and maybe we'll rotate one in and one out at the halfway point of any season, really, or early doors in a season. By sort of February, March time, we would. So it's a bit strange that now we're talking about, well, this player's coming in for that player, and there's a wee bit of rotation while you work out what's your strongest squad. Especially when you've got 19 players, you want a good 11 with eight that you can put in as and when you need them. But some teams will still be finding their feet, having just found a settled squad, then being off, maybe having strengthened a couple of positions or lost players, and now having to find their feet again. It's another issue, I suppose, with this lockdown and the halting of play. But
and just going back to your question about Brechin, we spoke about it, I think, in the things to look out for episode last week. You feel for Brechin, a horror start, like away at Stirling, away at Stranraer. They now play Queen's Park, but they did look tidier against Stirling Albion. I think they had eight players making their debut or something, and they did all right. Possession, Stirling Albion edged it, but by no means kind of streets ahead of them. Similar number of corners. They had a couple of chances, Brechin, and then obviously going to Stranraer. The other night, I think it was a wee bit more comfortable for Stranraer, but and I think Payton picked up an injury as well for Brechin, which won't help them, but they look more solid, but they need to start getting results. They'll be thankful that Cowden and Annan drew, and Albion Rovers keep getting beaten as well. And what
Death taxes and Albion Rovers getting beaten, eh?
What are you saying about Albion Rovers?
I think I've nailed it. Frankly, obviously I'm going to say that, but it's also the glitch. It's the easy way out to say you'll get better performances, just won't do that, just not going to do anything, not going to get better results. It's the easy thing to say because they're just in a spiral. I think either you or Muzz had commented or sent us a message just saying Ryan Stevenson's plodding about, and I think that basically is going to sum up his ability is just plodding.
My message was, I'd said obviously on this that I think Albion Rovers would be better than they conceded something like 10 seconds after half time to Stenny. That was my one, and then Stevenson was plodding. So
plodding about up front. So like they're good, but Stenny, you know, I was a bit critical. I was critical of Stenny at the start, but having heard Spence talking about how they've been training and the approach they've taken, it's no surprise they've come racing out the blocks to 2-0.
1-0, but Peterhead in the cup as well, which was our mate Spence's been on the bench a couple of times actually. I'm not sure we happened about that.
And that's not an association you want to. I'm not sure Alston's played either. So
a nightmare journey for them up to Peterhead in the Scottish, but obviously they won that, which they'll be delighted with as well.
Yeah, and they have come flying out, and that, you know, it's massive, this preparation that some teams have had. And I don't know if in your head, if you're thinking, right, the preparation that Stenny are going to have had building up to the Albion Rovers game and the preparation that Albion Rovers will have had, you just presume that Stenny have prepared better. And there's just, we've said that about Breakin' and Joe, there just seems to be something in the air about those two clubs that doesn't, it doesn't sit like things are going well. And I don't know if it's just a carryover of them being like low down the table and they're losing games basically all the time. If you're just presuming they just won't do well, but there needs to be a catalyst that we thought might have been some of these players where you come in and go, actually, well, you need to win a game at some point. You need to pick up some point somewhere. So why not at Stenny? Why not against Edinburgh City when you do get the ability to score a goal? And then they've just chucked it and lost 2-0. So I'm not overly surprised the way either of those teams are going. And like you say, it's a miserable next game for Breakin. And
huge for
Albion Rovers have got Annan. So
huge, isn't it? Because Annan have come back. Obviously, they've drawn 0-0 with Cowden Beef. But like you said, if there was ever going to be a 0-0 that you'd bet on, it would have been that one.
Neither of them can afford, by the way.
No, yeah. They needed to win that. But just very briefly in the Scottish Cup, Stranraer, with Brora beating Hearts, Stranraer have now got a 6-hour-and-33-minute car ride. In the next round of the Scottish Cup. The longest trip that could have been drawn, Stranraer to Brora. 6:33, I think it was.
My issue would not be getting there. My issue would be getting back.
Imagine being a sub goalie, knowing you're not playing. Tremendous.
Do they still take third goalies that sit in the stands just in case? Because that's your worst job.
No.
And you've got to, it's got to be hotel territory. They've got to be open. You can't, that's not a day trip.
I don't know how it'll work.
Meet in the middle with no fans. Would you be up for that if you're either team?
Probably. Well, not Brora because they're at home, aren't they?
And their home record certainly in the cups by.
So Annan, like we said, a point they maybe have took away at Cowden Beef. They then got beaten in penalties by Formington on Tuesday. I think away, which is probably a journey and a half as well, actually. So they've not come back firing. I don't think they overly strengthened. And I said, didn't I, last week, I thought Annan would be the team that struggles. So how do you see Albion Annan going on Saturday? I've got to back Albion Rovers because I've said Annan will struggle. So I'm backing my lads.
Can both teams lose this game? Is that a thing we can do? Just
it might be another 0-0.
I don't know if Annan can afford another 0-0.
Somebody needs to do something.
Albion Rovers have scored in the league. This game they've played, two games they've played. I've not got a clue how to call this one. There are 3 points separating them. Both got relatively miserable goal differences. You could argue Albion Rovers' form's worse, but only by Annan having two draws. Albion Rovers at least drawn in their last five games.
I'm going to push you for an answer.
Get me on the Albion bandwagon, man. Let's go.
Me and you both. So Breakin...
One up to three wins, man. Come on, the boys.
So Breakin, they're getting beaten off Queen's Park on Saturday. You having
that? Yes, you're absolutely right.
Queen's Park kind of back like they've never been away, aren't they? We spoke about like will full-time teams have an advantage, and maybe Queen's Park was one of the teams that we didn't overly mention, but they've just kind of eased back in, haven't they? Was it a 3-0 win at home to Stranraer? Relatively comfortable.
Aye. The big ones for Brechin is they're on minus 22 goals and Queen's Park are on plus just 16.
Before you carry on, sorry, there's subs. So players that came on Saturday, Darren Lyon, Kudarasa, Louis Longridge, Grant Gillespie, Jai Kutongo.
Good.
I can't say anything other than a Queen's Park one.
Yeah, and the big one, like I was going to say, that you've mentioned players who have come on, players who have come off, players who are in the squad or haven't even made it. They're all contributing to that plus 16 goal difference, and Brechin are minus 22, mm-hmm. having played 11 games. Like, just don't lose more goals.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be, and I said this long ago on the podcast, maybe for Albion Rovers, you've got to have a game plan for Brechin. We do not concede in and break it down, whether that's the first half.
Yeah.
You start, obviously, we don't concede and we try and win. Like, that's the mentality every team will be having going in. Brechin will believe they can go in and win. Basically, everyone else in Scottish football will believe they're not going to. But at half-time, if you're losing, right, it's we don't home, get beaten right. in the second half. Like, there's got to be something that Brechin can hold on to that, again, will potentially set down markers, but actually more important than setting down external markers, something you can hold on to internally, something you can talk to the players about and say, look, you did this against Queen's Park and it was right good, so just do that from now until the end of the season and we won't get relegated.
So Stranraer took that disappointing result like away at Queen's Park on Saturday. They've then licked their wounds, come back 2-0 win over Brechin, which they took like more minutes under the belt, clean sheet. A goal for Orr gets him firing. Andy Stirling's notched another goal for him. So they now go to Cowden. They've got to kick on and win that, don't they?
Yeah, and that for Stranraer, that's almost been the ideal return because
you get
Queen's Park out of the way. You just go, right, they're finished. Brechin's your next one, which is your chance to. Everyone's back fitter, everyone's trained more, everyone's got that match fitness against Queen's Park, everyone's trained a wee bit more. Cowdenbeath's not going to be an easy game. Like, don't get us wrong, Cowdenbeath will give you a game, but Cowdenbeath might even come away with a draw. Can we see Cowdenbeath winning? Probably not. But for Stranraer, that'll be the way they want to do it. You get a tough game out of the way, so you don't need to play them really much more that season. Good chance to get a win and a confidence boost. You can, again, another thing you can tick off internally. Your strikers are scoring, your midfields are creating. You get a clean sheet at the back, like they're tick, tick, tick. That's game plan delivered.
Did you see their goal
on Twitter? Not that I remember. And by the sounds of it, it would be one that I would remember.
We will share it on the Through the Turnstiles Twitter for anyone listening or watching that hasn't seen it. Unbelievable. In fact, I'll go on and do it now. I remember. Wait till you see this goal for a League Two club. Scary. So talking of the Scottish Cup, like we did at the start, Steny obviously great result away at Peterhead. Options like we spoke about, Spence on the bench, but a clean sheet after going up there. Their rewards are home tie against Kilmarnock, which they'll take as a free hit by all means. They go to Edinburgh City, and I think that's going to be a piece, and I think both teams would probably take that just now. Naismith obviously in the back of two wins. Look, in an ideal world, you win every game, but he'll be looking at it. They've got themselves into that playoff position. They're tucked in fourth now. Steny are four behind them with a game in hand. So he'll be thinking, like, a point kind of just keeps him at arm's length just now. It gives us 7 from 9 and it keeps unbeaten run kind of going. For Steny, again, travelling away, they're probably looking at it as well. Look, we'll take our point and we'll kind of move on. We're four behind Edinburgh City. Yes, we do have a game in hand type thing. So two good teams as well. They'll both be aware of what the other can do. So I think that'd be a decent game, actually. Maybe one apiece, 2-2. I can see that being the spoils being shared.
Yeah, agreed. To be honest, you wonder, no one's going to be speaking hushed tones behind closed doors going, actually, you know what, the lockdown's come at not a bad time. But for anyone, Steny have maybe benefited from it, not to not bad extent. Just looking back at their results before that, 21st of November and onwards, lost 2-1 to Annan, lost 3-1 Queen's Park, won, to be fair, 2-1 against Brechin, draw 2 each, Stranraer, lost against Elgin, won against Preston, and that was the last game they played. And then they've come back, 2-0 against Albion Rovers, 1-0 against Peterhead, Edinburgh City next, Stirling Albion after that. If they can build some momentum off the back of this, if they can get through Edinburgh City without losing, they're then going into another team in the playoff, and then they're going into Killy, and then they're back to playing Brechin away. So they can certainly, by all means, build some momentum, as long as their sort of mantra, Steny, this is going at it with a, let's not get beaten here. Because if I'm in that dressing room, I'm saying, look, that lockdown's come at the perfect time to arrest that form, because the mood in the camp can't have been good coming off the results they were on. And they can now stop and say, actually, let's not get ourselves into that situation again, because you can see what that does to your form, that you can see what that does to the culture in the place. So what we'll do is actually we'll make sure that doesn't happen again. We'll be unbeaten against Edinburgh City. We'll give Stirling a whack. You touched on it. A free hit against Killy. And then we're back to Brechin, which is probably a win, let's be frank. Yeah. And then they can get some momentum. And who's to say they don't actually push on up the table and I end up redacting what I said at the start and deleting it off the YouTube channel when I said they would get relegated. Edinburgh City, again, much the same. Let's not lose because we can secure ourselves in the playoffs. If they win, they're a game ahead and a point ahead of Elgin. If they win here or if they stay unbeaten, that's just another nudge closer to Stranraer, another nudge closer to Stirling Albion, and probably you would argue that Queen's Park are out of touch for them. But again, just don't lose. And you don't know if they'll go in. Do you think they'll go into the game cagey, or do you think they'll both come out going, actually, we can probably win this?
I think they'll both come out and try and win, but I think that they will end up cancelling each other out because as it gets to maybe 80-minute mark, if it's a draw, both teams will maybe just kind of take that and move on. So point apiece. And like you say, the other team kind of making up the playoffs, or two teams, is Elgin, Stirling. Again, that'll be a good game, actually. I think Stirling's last loss was in Elgin, if I'm not mistaken, in the league anyway. They were unlucky against Raith Rovers. I think 7 or 8 changes they made. Had a couple of chances of their own. Raith did enough on the day to get through. Still an Albion, that is.
Yeah, it's maybe a tough one to take for Stirling Albion, because we know, having spoken to Stirling Albion fans, having spoken to Stuart Brown, that they are an Bill Orr as well. They're an ambitious club, and Raith are a tough outfit. But I don't know, in your head, I maybe feel like that's an accessible draw. You're not, if you're Stirling Albion drawing that at home, you're not going, well, that's a loss, that's a write-off completely. You're maybe fancying that. And then to lose, it's probably a bit of a disappointment. I don't know what you think about if you feel like Raith are there to be got at, or if that's maybe just a hangover from where Raith were to be got at, or is it current form for Raith?
I think they're on a bit of a drought goals-wise, Raith, as we spoke about. I think Stirling Albion, they left the likes of Ryan, Declan Burnett, etc. on the bench, so they could have had a right good goal, but they've obviously got this game in mind, which is kind of fair enough. They've maybe looked at the next round as being Livingston away, and again thought it's maybe not going to be a big money spinner, but we'll probably get beaten. So, that, you know, had it been a trip to Ibrox or whatever, they might have gone full strength and kind of gone for it, but I think they've had half an eye on the next round and then kind of based team selection potentially off that. So they'll have those players back for Saturday, and I think they'll go to Elgin and win.
Interestingly, the website I'm looking at has got Stirling Albion having 0% possession, so they've been well and truly done in by Raith by the looks of it. So,
how do you see that one panning out?
Elgin, Stirling Albion, I think, again, you don't want to rely on just predicting draws, because
Elgin got a doing, didn't they, midweek?
Yeah, it's the easy man's solution, the draw. But I think, to be fair, I think Stirling Albion will be strong enough to go and win that game. I do really like Elgin.
Elgin got a chase in midweek. And
we got three of us the doing for suggesting, actually, that the Elgin goalkeeper was the best in the league. But do you worry, though, that by resting those players that you've maybe actually had more of a detrimental impact because they won't maybe be as up to fitness?
Nah, I think they'll be.
Are you not concerned at all?
Nah. I think they've done the right thing. They've been playing bounce games against Falkirk and stuff, so I think their fitness, match fitness, isn't an issue.
So I think Stirling Albion will have the players and the ability to go and beat Elgin. A close game, certainly. Again, similar to the other games that I'd said, you wouldn't be surprised if they walked away with a draw. But I think if I'm going to have to pick a team and you take draw off the table, it's got to be Stirling Albion for me. Elgin could do without this game. Frankly, they could do with an easier tie. But Stirling Albion similarly need to win this one, because next up, Steny, who could be coming in good form, and then Queen's Park. It's got to be pick them up when you can.
No, so that rounds up the League 2 one then. Muzz will hopefully be back with us next week. So thank you very much for joining. As always, any thoughts, feedback, predictions, etc., put them in the comments in the YouTube video or get us on Twitter at TurnstilesD. As I said, if you are watching on YouTube, if you could like the video and subscribe to the channel. If you prefer listening to watching, you can get us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. New content every week. Thanks very much for joining, and we'll hopefully see you soon. Cheers.
Cheerio.